afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's October 10th, 2018. Remember that day, folks, as we're seeing, well, let me say hello to Dave first. Hello, Dave.
Well, hello. I almost said hello, Wendy, but hello, Wendy, too. But hello.
She is here.
Hello, Melody. Happy hump day.
Yes, good afternoon. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs today. But as the story is unfolding as we speak, the Dow fell over 800 points today. The NASDAQ is down over 4%. And we'll follow this. We have Wendy Wilson for the first segment of the program today. But we will follow this through and see what the final numbers are. I'm going to give the gold and silver markets, and we'll take it from there. But remember that day, October 10th, 2018. Is that going to be the day that gold finally gets its chance? Now, it's certainly a sluggish day in the gold price, but really, Dave, the markets really only started to unfold, the last hour, I would say. I mean, to the point where they just opened up and fell to the degree that they did. Now, the Dow might have come back a little bit, but we'll see here in just a moment. So we got a few bucks out of gold. Hey, we're over 1190, so let's be happy about it. $1,193.80, up $3. But the white metals couldn't hold any gains today. You had the silver was down 9 cents at 1437. Platinum was down a buck at 827. And palladium was down 2 at 1074. Now, the white metals didn't go down that much. And, of course, they're industrial metals. So, yeah, they're going to have an impact. Silver will, eventually turn around here pretty quick, mainly because people will go to it as a monetary metal in this times of distress in the paper markets. The USDX today was only down 0.16 at 95.55. Crude oil was down big, 2.14 at 72.82. And, folks, all eyes are on Hurricane Michael. And, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of clients in those areas that's going to be affected by this hurricane. So, people are distracted as far as what's going on. They didn't see what the markets have done. And the Dow down 3%, 827 points at 25,603. It's still at 25,000, but so we're looking at 800-point drop today. The NASDAQ down 4.80%, down 315. 7,422. It's a good thing that the market closed at 4. The S&P down 94 points, 2,785, and that was down 3.33%. So the tech-heavy NASDAQ fell the most at 4%. With the S&P and with the Dow. The 10-year yield, 3.22%. And let's see. And I've, I often talk about the fear and greed index. And when we come back from the break, I'll update you what includes the fear and greed index. And it's been a long, long time since I saw it at this number. And it is 9. Been a long time, because it was just 2 weeks ago. It was at, 72, 73? And today we're at 9. And I said, things have got to catch up to it. I don't know what the VIX do today.
It's over 22, up over 40%. That's the highest it's been at in a long time. It's been hovering between, 10, 11, 12 the last several months. And we know that when the VIX exceeds 15, if it's there for a sustained basis, that usually signals some coming good times for the price of gold and silver. So we'll see what happens there.
Well, just real quick before we go to Wendy, consumer durables, of course, with the high rate, and I said 3.25%, that's when things are going to start unwinding. And we've heard President Trump say, Yeah, rates are too high. Consumer durables was down 9.8% today. So for a sector performance. So it's hitting, you know, I didn't really look into that report more to see, but that's what happens when the consumer gets hit with these higher rates. We'll finish up this topic. So make sure you stay tuned. We'll see what else comes out after the markets are closing at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. And we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Sorry to take up a couple minutes of your time, Wendy, but it's an interesting and fascinating day in the paper market.
Oh, that's fine. Hello, Melody and Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I thought we'd talk about the three waves of the pandemic influenza. Yeah, we're getting into that cold and flu season. And you may have noticed there seems to be a lot of attention on influenza viruses lately, especially during, you know, your winter months. But there's this nervous tick inside science with regard to the 1918 influenza. You know, the one I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish flu. Mm-hmm. So this was an influenza strain in 1918 that had really not seen the light of day until September 2009, when London virologist John Oxford exhumed a lot of people who had, they thought, died from the deadly flu in 1918, and they extracted tissue samples so they could capture this disease. And you may recall also the strain of flu called the Spanish flu, and Dr. Alan Hay, he's a virologist, he refers to this strain of a virus as the Armageddon scenario. So why would they resurrect a virus if it's so deadly? And that's a huge mystery. This virus is a huge mystery to science. Well, there's a lot of reasons, and the public's not really told all about everything. When you get around to these pandemic strains of viruses, we're told they cycle out every 40 years, so they're saying we're overdue for one of these pandemics to hit. And also the WHO has this influenza center at the National Institute of Medical Research in London, ergo the London virologists. So a deadly pathogen now can be manipulated using gene editing. And what do you suppose that could do?
I can only imagine, Wendy.
Well, it could make it more lethal is what it could do. So you can weaponize a disease. It could be a mass destructive type of weapon, and you don't even have to launch an army to inflict all that. And that's a lot of power for countries to wield, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
So here's an example. In the 30s, science really started to catalog a lot of these viruses, a lot of these agents that cause influenza. So they're starting to proclaim themselves as big experts in viruses. But I say this, any knowledge in the hands of a small mind is a dangerous thing. So we're going to check out what's brewing. Let me read you Dr. Alan Hay, virologist's comment on this. He says, despite all the potentially hazardous implications, it has not stopped researchers from going ahead with great lengths to learn all they can about the Spanish flu. Using the CRISPR tool, we've been able to dramatically amplify the genetic material, such as the genes in the virus, and we're determining its secrets, and we're piecing them together like a genome jigsaw. We're handling the virus very carefully with high contaminant conditions, end of quote. So you see what they're doing?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now here's the three waves. Let's get to the three waves. You got your surfboard, Dave. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. According to the CDC, when the Spanish flu hit in 1918, there were three distinctive waves of the illness. The virus hit in March of 1918, and then it subsided during the summer, but then it peaked again in the fall, which produced this high body count. The third wave emerged in the winter of 1918 and continued into the spring of 1919. But by the time the summer of 1919 came around, the Spanish flu seemed to have stopped. And most people really don't know that science at this time was experimenting heavily with influenza strains between 1889 and 1890. So they were working up vaccines at that time. And so during 1918 is when they started administering vaccines of an undisclosed composition to the military.
Surprise, surprise.
Okay, so at this time, it was in this time frame, it was common to combine diseases and vaccines. It was one huge, big experiment. Sometimes it would be rabies, sometimes it would be typhoid fever, yellow fever, diphtheria, influenza, or smallpox. All right, so this culture criteria of making vaccines back then was pretty horrible. They really had, you know, infectious conditions pretty bad. So there actually have been photos. You can go to the archives and look at photos of them testing these experimental vaccines on orphaned infants, orphaned children, and poor adults that had no family. And some of the pictures are pretty horrifying. Okay, many of the vaccines of that era, they used a B strain influenza or pneumonia, strep, staph, and what is called micrococcus, which is a gram negative bacterial strain. It causes massive inflammation. Now, I want you to remember this. Science loves flu pathogens, flu viruses. They are the vehicle that will transport other disease. Okay, so this is why flu vaccines are so important. Let me read you this quote from the American Medical Journal of 1918. They said, physicians in 1918 and 1919 were faced with the strange circumstance that all vaccines, regardless of their composition, their mode of administration, or the circumstances in which they were tested, were held at an esteem to prevent influenza or pneumonia. Then they went on to say something was clearly wrong. The medical profession had at that time no consensus on what constituted a valid vaccine trial to determine if the vaccine was beneficial. There were no peer review standards and had very informal procedures. End of quote. Scary, isn't it?
It really is.
Also, this is a quote from the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health. They said this in 2010. They said, nearly 100 years later, and the most basic fundamental features of influenza are still largely unexplained. We still don't know the distinguishing difference between regular influenza and pandemic strains of influenza. I want you to remember that, because I'm going to cover that in just a minute.
Okay.
I don't know the difference between regular influenza and pandemic influenza. Okay. All right. So, but you know, there's some documents that survived of World War One. During World War One, the U.S. Army gave the military typhoid vaccines, in which the cases of typhoid increased rapidly. So the deaths occurred after the vaccines were given in American Army hospitals, and also in the American Army hospitals in France, which they considered a clinical setting. So in their report, there's this report that survives from the U.S. Army Surgeon General, in which it states the cases of typhoid increased after vaccination and showed 19,608 soldiers were immediately admitted with a diagnosis of anti-typhoid inoculation and vaccinia, which means a complex virus belonging to the pox family. So they had typhoid with a pox virus in there. Get that?
Yes.
So the Army doctors knew it was the vaccines that they gave to the military that caused the outbreak, and they panicked. And what they did is they tried to suppress, because they were having telltale typhoid symptoms from the vaccine that was supposed to protect them from typhoid. So what they did is they gave them a stronger vaccine, and then it caused what is called in the report from the Attorney General, typhoid paratyphoid condition, which is a worse case of disease, and it created your Spanish flu. Are you with me still?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so this treatment was then rushed, actually horrifyingly as it is, to civilians, and it advertised as a protective measure from this mysterious Spanish flu, and it killed more people. So those who didn't get injected, they didn't contract the disease. So, hello, it would appear that science, the difference between regular influenza and pandemic influenza is vaccines.
That'd be interesting.
So, and well, science is really still doing this today. Here's an example. You take chickenpox. If you get it acquired when you're a kid naturally, it's not life-threatening, and you do build a natural immunity. But science makes now a chickenpox vaccine they give to kids, right? And they also have a shingles vaccine they give to adults. And the shingles vaccine is nothing more than the chickenpox vaccine 10 times stronger. Okay. And today, children, since they're getting the chickenpox vaccine, they're developing cases of shingles because they were injected with chickenpox. They didn't acquire naturally. It was a, you know, it was an artificial infection. Mm. All right. So here are some of the symptoms after they gave the military the vaccine. One thing medical history tries to ignore is that when the military and civilians were given this vaccine with typhoid serum, they quickly developed the following symptoms that most were led to believe was this strange new flu. It was typhoid symptoms of abdominal pain, gastrointestinal problems like diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, fatigue, fever, chills, loss of appetite, weakness, headache, rash, red dots on the abdomen, and weight loss. They also had hepatitis, as well as lesions that looked like smallpox sores, and pneumonia-like congestion, but similar to diphtheria and paralysis. Okay.
You know, you see a lot of commercials now for older folks about hepatitis.
Mm.
Do you think that's all somewhat possibly related?
Well, if you ask Dr. Mercola, he says you got your hepatitis A and B. There's no such thing. There's no such animal as hepatitis C, but they're making vaccines for it.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, I want to have distinguish between typhus and typhoid. Typhus is flea-borne. By the way, they got an outbreak of flea-borne typhus in California, Los Angeles. Okay, and your typhoid is really a food-borne infection. It's from the salmonella type of infection. So there's a distinction there. So it's real important. Some say the Spanish flu was, you know, kind of a creation on its own. It evolved. People don't understand when you have diseases mutate and evolve, it takes hundreds, if not thousands of years. It doesn't happen in a few years or a decade or a century or two. It takes a long time. So mutation takes a long time. So,
well, I always thought it was just a matter of, you know, it would mutate when it met some sort of resistance, and to avoid that resistance, it would mutate. I didn't think it would take hundreds of years.
Well, for a pandemic
really?
Level, from a pandemic standpoint, okay. You know, from that kind of virulence is what the virologists are saying. So if we have a better understanding of that procedure, we could be more skeptical. So I would say technology, though, is really advanced science, and they're becoming more of the creator of more of these strains of diseases. So do you know they can actually switch your immune system on and off with protein receptors?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So be careful with vaccines. They can do that.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is what they do with the elderly, giving them, you know, the vaccines with the adjuvants in there, supposedly to stimulate, you know, their immune system. I got to go.
Hey, give us your number. Give us your number.
Sure. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Be good.
Thank you.
Next week.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. We have a limited, and this is limited, ladies and gentlemen. No, I mean it. I got some very lovely, they're older dated Silver Eagles, so I'm selling them at $15.75 each. You'll get a tube of 20, and it's going to be included with a Mint State 62 $20 Liberty gold piece. Now, the 62 $20 Liberty gold piece is only selling for $50 more than what an American Gold Eagle would sell for. So you're going from an American Gold Eagle, you're going through all the circulated grades, you're going through the Mint State 60, 61, and a 62. And there's a few mixed states in the batch that I received. They're lovely coins, very lovely coins. Mint State 62, $20 gold piece, 20 of the 1 ounce American Silver Eagles. It includes your shipping costs. This price also includes your shipping costs. So you're basically paying, what, not even $2 over spot for those Silver Eagles, but you do have to buy them with the $20 gold piece. And the price is $1,615. It's $315 for the Silver Eagles, $1,300 for the Mint State 62. Shipping's included in that at $16.15. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's $1,615. And that's 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And heading into coming onto the program today, we saw that the Dow was down 800 points. I'm going to go back. This is the worst drop since February, which, well, not even a year ago. But Amazon and the tech shares led the route. And let's see if I can find any other information. Microsoft fell more than 3.5%, and Intel also fell 3.5%. I already mentioned that the NASDAQ fell 4%. And so for the month, you have the S&P and the Dow are down 4.4% in 10 days, and 4.4% for the S&P and the Dow, 3.3%, and the NASDAQ has lost closer to 8% in 10 days. So, of course, there's rising rate fears, a pivot out of technology stocks, which we've seen an impact on the markets. The Dow has dropped 4 of the last 5 sessions, and losing over 900 points during that span. And Amazon, they declined 6.2%, but Netflix, 8.4% slide. They slid 8.4%. Facebook.
I blame Kevin Spacey on that.
Yeah, maybe.
Facebook. The last season of of that show is coming out in a few weeks. Sans the alleged predator, and I'm sure that's having some residual effect.
You know, 8.4% is huge. Facebook and Apple, they fell more than 4% each. And for the overall tech sector in the S&P 500, it was the worst day in 7 years. So you have people getting out of the big high-tech names. And let's see if there's any other information that we haven't already shared.
Well, I'll tell you, of a particular note from my perspective, you know, almost two-thirds of the S&P 500, actually it's 505, but 295 of the S&P stocks are in correction territory.
Yeah.
I mean, they've fallen by more than 10%, you know, from their 52-week highs. And, you know, that's substantial. You know, another 123 stocks, Melody, are down 20% from their recent peak. That's actually, you know, bear market territory.
Yeah,
that's,
it is.
Yeah, led by you know, a number of the companies you mentioned, Intel, Facebook, Twitter, but also automakers, you know, Ford and GM and American Airlines and General Electric, GE. So, you know, you know, it's only been in the, in the headline of news the past 4 or 5 days, but the impact over the past few weeks, you know, is pretty pronounced.
It truly is. And look at how many distractions we have and how many people are really paying attention. I don't think there's that many people paying attention. They will when they get their quarterly statements, I guess. But until then, you know, they become immune to, you know, what's going on and, you know, thinking that it's going to come back. They're blaming rates. The Federal Reserve is going to get blamed for, you know, but look what the 10-year has done. I mean, that popped up to 325 in what, a week?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
A week and a half.
You know, you got the 2-year that's closing in on 3%.
Yeah.
You know, that was has been down the past 2 days. But, you know, it's you know, it's just another reason why listeners tell your friends about financial survival. They should be tuning in to us as often as they can. If they can't do it live, there's always the website, dgscoins.com, where they can, you know, listen to. You know, just click on the archive and listen to us on tape. How about it, Melody?
Absolutely. And, you know, you're going to hear all kinds of stories. You're going to hear all kinds of reasons. But, you know, really, ladies and gentlemen, we had a problem for a very long time. And, you know, we never know the day. We never know the time. I mean, this market could be up 1,000 points tomorrow and everybody goes happily on their way again. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the debt is going to come back and haunt us. I think there's other things that are going on in the world. Yesterday, we talked about, I found this interesting. Yesterday, we talked about how the EU financial sector is at risk as the derivative deal stalls. We talked about, you know, with the Brexit, and the Bank of England has warned in its latest assessment that the financial stability in the UK, that the EU has made only limited progress, and it's with the crucial issue of regulating cross-border derivative contracts. They don't know what's happening. I found another article today. Now, is this what's making the markets drop? No, I don't think so. Maybe. But this is out of the Asian Times. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Mm. I don't think I've ever looked at the Asian Times before, except, you know, when a headline has gotten my attention. And they're talking about, has the derivatives volcano already begun to erupt? Oh, nobody talks about derivatives. Very few people talk about derivatives anymore. And the headline continues that the risk remains that dollar credit will seize up globally with disastrous consequences for countries that have to borrow dollars to cover deficits.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, derivatives are like cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. Melody, in the sense that if you're an investor, stay away from a product you don't understand. If you can't tell your significant other, your child, a friend, a coworker, whatever an interest rate swap is, a credit default swap, don't buy it. regardless of, you know, what your best friend or your broker or whomever, what you read about, you know, about the potential, you know, gains from it. You know, not only is it, you know, sheer speculation if you don't know about it, it's just downright insane. You know, if you've got that much money to spend, put it into gold and silver, something, you know, that's known as, you know, a store of value that's going to hold its value over time, and stay away from this other stuff that, well, I mean, a form of derivative in large part, not totally, there's several factors, but, you know, had a big part to do with the financial crisis of 2008.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's again, not at the level that it's been at, but it's still there. And some people aren't learning their lessons.
Well, I mean, we're just talking huge amounts of money, trillions and trillions of dollars, and there's no assets. And you know, this article from Asian Times is talking about that the cure for the last crisis always turns into the cause of the next one. And, you know, we're looking at economies around the world, Europe, Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Japan, Germany. I mean, they've all used these programs. They all use stimulus to get to the point where we are today. And you know, hedging the foreign exchange risk in this $500 trillion per year business has exhausted the balance sheet of the global banking system, this article talks about. It explains a large part of the jump in the U.S. 10-year note yield to 3.2% last Friday from 2.85 in early September. So, you know, all of this is beginning to unwind at the same time. And again, we're in a world where, and I think Pastor Butch said yesterday, if somebody sneezes, everybody catches the cold. And you can blame, you know, you can have the president blame the Fed. You can have somebody else blame somebody else. You can have this and this. But ultimately, it truly goes back to our monetary system, and it goes back to our debt, and it goes to our politicians. I mean, they've allowed this to go on. They just pass these budgets. They pass this. They pass that. And because it's an election year this year. And so, interesting times, Dave.
Oh, boy. Interesting, to say the least. I can think of some other choice adjectives as well.
We can't say them on the radio.
keep your head to the grind and just stay abreast of these current events, and just don't get involved in stuff you don't know about.
Get out of paper, get out of paper.
If we did things my way, Melody, you know, derivatives would be, I mean, just derivatives and a lot of the options trading that's going on now in the U.S. and abroad would be forbidden. I think it's very speculative, risky ventures that are done mainly at the expense of the vast majority of, you know, investors and taxpayers who at the end of the day could be left footing another bill.
And consumers, because it raises the prices. It brings in the inflation.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, there's no good gains about it. Get out of paper, ladies and gentlemen, you know. And I've heard this story time and time again. Everybody says, well, the markets are going to come back. Maybe. Maybe not. Where do you want to be? Do you want to risk that they are going to come back? What do you think what do you think the chance, the percentage of it actually coming back this time is compared to it not coming back? I think it not coming back has a higher probability than actually coming back. Not coming back than actually coming back. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about producer prices. They increased 0.2% in September. Reversing an unexpected decline in August, rise in service prices offset a slight drop in price for goods. Final demand prices have fallen. You know, economists had expected it increasing in September and advancing a 2.8% year over year. But In the 12 months through September, this is what's important, the core PPI rose 2.9%.
Yeah, the movement last month reversed 2 months of declines.
Yeah.
It's driven by a 1.8% jump in transportation and warehousing services. You know, over a third of the increase in services was attributed to a 5.5% increase in the index for airline passenger services. Interesting. You know, the slight decline in goods prices was the first since May of last year. That was led by an 0.8% drop in energy prices and a 0.6% drop in food. Now, excluding the food and energy, goods prices rose 0.2%.
And, you know, we talk about rates. We talk about the 10-year. Mortgage applications, the volume fell 1.7% for the week. And this was according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Volume was 15% lower compared with a year ago. The extremely weak demand for mortgage refinances have been driving the overall drain on this mortgage lending. We had refinance volumes fell 3% last week and was 32% lower than a year ago. The refinancing share of total applications dropped to 39%. So just to get an idea of just how weak that is, the refinance share of total mortgage applications was 62% 2 years ago. So ladies and gentlemen, I ask, how great is our economy when we can't even support the consumers out there, can't even buy a home when you have the interest rates rise to barely 5% or a little over 5%.
5.05
yeah.
30-year fixed last week.
So how great is the economy when they can't even afford that small increase?
Well, you know, with so much of the demand at the, you know, the so-called entry level of homes, you know, that's where, you know, most buyers have the, you know, less wiggle room in their wallets.
Yeah.
And higher mortgage rates are going to cut into home sales, so that it shouldn't be a surprise. You know, in a $300,000 home, today's rates, this week's rates, are going to cost home buyers about $200 more per month in payments. So, you know, obviously a lot of home buyers are now turning to the riskier short-term adjustable rate mortgages. You know, they're shorter.
And we know how that turns out.
Yes. Be careful. Be careful what you wait for.
And so, you know, $200 per more a month, that's a lot. Considering we have people who can't afford $1,000 emergency.
Yes.
We have, because not only are your rates on your mortgages going up, but also your credit cards, your auto loans. People say, well, what's a quarter point here and there? How much is that going to affect your credit card? Well, you know, it affects a lot of people, you know, because they're living from paycheck to paycheck. And we're going from segment to segment here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you pick up a package today, $1,615. You receive 20 one-ounce American Silver Eagles, and they're priced at $15.75. They are backdated ones. They're not 2018, but they're beautiful white. And a Mint State 62 $20 gold piece, $1,300. This includes your shipping costs for $1,615. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. And before we head on, I just want to make a brief comment about this Hurricane Michael. 155 miles per hour. It continues to strengthen. And what's interesting is it didn't land. It landed at the air, I don't know if it's an Air Force base, but a military base, which was evacuated. So the eye avoided cities. So you could say that's good, but the storm is so monstrous that they're certainly having, this is the third strongest landfall on record for the USA. And for the United States. And so, again, as I mentioned earlier, we had many clients down in that area and along the path that this hurricane will follow. And I think we're going to get hit with rain anyway. I don't know what the winds will be when it eventually finds its way up to the eastern shore here, Maryland. They do, you know, I've been told that it's not the hurricanes that get this area, it's the nor'easters. Well, this is one humdinger of a nor'easter. So, you know, hopefully the winds will die down some. And
Or a southwester.
A southwester? I haven't heard that one, but...
Yeah, but I think that's the direction still, it'll be coming from.
Well, I think of the nor'easter. Okay. So we were talking about, so you folks, if it hasn't gotten to you yet and you're expecting some, make sure you're safe out there. Mnuchin was warning China not to devalue its currency. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told China not to weaken its currency as both countries are trying to resolve their trade differences. He said that the Treasury Department is closely watching that currency market and wants to talk about the issue with China as part of trade discussions. China's currency, the renminbi, also known as the yuan, was down 6.5% this year versus the dollar as of today.
Yeah, the Chinese currency has fallen this year and concerned mainly about slowing growth in China compared with the strengthening U.S. economy. The White House's latest tariffs of 10% on $200 billion of imports from China took effect late last month. And the president in a mid-September statement said those tariffs would rise to 25%. On January 1st. If we have enough time in this last segment today, we'll be talking a little bit more about China-U.S. relations. Melody.
Well, you know, we were talking about the rates and that people are using for their credit, you know, how it's going to affect people with their credit cards and all their loans. And the Fed reported that consumer credit posted a significant increase in August, rising by $20 billion. No wonder we have great economy, above the $15 billion that was expected. So that brings the total to $3.94 trillion. This is a 6.2% increase from a year ago and a new all-time high. And, of course, this is largely on the back of a newfound love with credit cards. This news comes after a surprising slump in the use of credit cards in the peak months of June and July, when U.S. consumers charged only, it's hard to believe they've only charged $639 million. But anyway, that's what it says. And more notably, but after a two-month dormancy in using credit cards, American consumers return to what they're doing best. And, of course, that is spending the money that they don't have. And we had revolving credit card accounts jumped $4.8 billion. That's the highest monthly increase since May and the second highest of 2018. And the monthly increase brought the total to a new all-time high of $1.04 trillion. This is your strong economy, ladies and gentlemen. Debts.
Well, and on top of that, Melody, I mean, growth in non-revolving credit, and that's, you know, student and auto loans mainly, you know, that was in line with recent months, you know, increasing by a little over $15 billion. That's the same as the July increase, bringing the total, you know, for that kind of debt to a record new high of $2.9 trillion. You know, student loan debt outstanding hit an all-time high of $1.5 trillion. Vehicle debt hit an all-time high of a little over $1.1 trillion. That's an increase of $18 billion in the last quarter alone. You know, all this sums up to say that Americans continue to spend on cars and college, but they like to do it on credit. I mean, especially when it comes to college, you know, a lot of people have no choice, little choice, given, you know, the overall state of the economy, you know, policy, and you know, just their socioeconomic status, but to go into some level of debt for that. But, you know, this rebound in revolving credit has, you know, it just got to silence any questions about, you know, the resilience of the U.S. Consumer over the summer months, Melody.
Well, you know, it is interesting when you talk about student loans. I was talking to someone today, and I said, well, how much do you have in student loans? They told me. He said, but you know, what's interesting is, and I didn't know this, is if you qualify for student loan, they give you a certain amount of money whether you need it or not. So if they give you $20,000 and you say, well, I only need 10, you're going to get 20. And if you get the 20, you know it's going to get used.
Yeah, right? I mean, you just have to work with your financial aid office that when, you know, that excess gets put into your account. You know, my daughter's college, thankfully, you know, sent letters out before each semester saying, hey, you know, what, you know, do you want this excess? You know, of course, we had the opportunity to say no thanks, but unwitting, you know, students and parents, you know,
yeah,
kinda, particularly students, independents, like, hey, it's a little cash infusion.
Yeah.
Not fully appreciating the consequences that, oh, it's a lot more I got to pay back. So be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, they're thinking they're going to get their degrees and then they're going to go out into the world and make buku's money, gobs and gobs of money, and it'll be easy to pay off and so forth. Just how your that's what debt does. That's what your credit cards do. You know, thinking, well, you know, I'm going to do this and get this before I have the money, and yeah, you know, we'll be good. Adjustable rates on your mortgage. You know, I'm going to get a better job in the next 7 years so I can have this adjustable loan, and you know, things are just going to go along nice and smoothly. Well, life happens, ladies and gentlemen. Life happens, and it never, rarely does it ever turn out the way we, you know, over a period of time than we, you know, anticipate that it would and plan for. And we have these disruptions and things change. Something from left field always happens. So it's easy to get caught up in that. And, you know, and those who loan the money governments, even their loans, and they make, I can't remember what the percent is. It's extremely high for the amount of money that they loan. They make lots of money on those loans, I believe.
Well, the banks certainly do the you know, Sally Mae, you know, they're subsidized and unsubsidized student loans that are, you know, guaranteed by the federal government. I think the highest rate right now, the unsubsidized, is around 7%. That may have changed in the last quarter, so I apologize if that isn't an up-to-date figure. But, you know, it's almost 50% higher than a typical 30-year mortgage.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, you got to be careful because, you know, you're going to get offered by these companies that buy your loans. You're going to be offered long-term payment plans that are going to look real appealing, you know, to lower your monthly payment. And in fact, you know, if you're just getting started on a especially a lower paying job, that might make sense for the first few years. But, you know, watch it, because, you know, if you get caught in a 20-year payback as opposed to a 10 or a 5 or even a 15 year, you're going to pay a lot more interest. You know, so just read the fine print, and
yeah, the big print giveth and the little print taketh. That's my insurance background.
I like that.
The little print was all the exclusions after they gave it to you up front.
How about it?
Briefly here, we're going to talk a little bit about, we did talk a little bit about the Mattress Firm is joining many, many others in retailers in bankruptcy. I also saw, I guess, Sears has hired someone to take them through their bankruptcy, I believe. I don't know if they've actually...
Yeah, they have a large debt payment, I think, due on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, so that means they're going to default in that, I would expect.
Yeah, unless they're... I mean, if they're going to look to restructure that loan somehow, you know, to avoid, you know, the worst-case scenario. Who knows? A lot of people have been saying for a year or two that, you know, like Penny's, it's just a matter of time for the, you know, the great Sears holding company. But, yep, we will see.
And, you know, I haven't seen any numbers so far of how many stores have closed this year. There was a record last year, and I believe this year was supposed to set another record.
Yeah, I think we're at about a dozen, roughly, give or take a few, of you know, the major brands. That's the last I heard.
I thought there was that. Maybe it was the store, different stores. I thought there was like thousands.
Stores are thousands. In the thousands.
Yeah. I think it was like 8,000 this year or something like that. Now, I don't know if that's a lot, but it seems like a lot. But we did. Yeah. But we do have Jim Boree. They filed for bankruptcy protection. And, of course, we all know Toys R Us are coming back from bankruptcy. And I guess they're putting their bankruptcy on hold or something. But, again, this affects employees. It affects landlords. I was reading an article. The malls, you know, they can't fill them. Stores are leaving and, you know, they're ghost towns. They're crumbling. The Mattress Firm, they had 3,000 stores. It's going to close as many 700. They're going to close as many as 700 locations, with roughly 200 stores expected to go dark as soon as the next few days, Dave. So,
Well, we've been looking for a new mattress for some time. Maybe it sounds like a buyer's opportunity, Mel.
You might be able to get two for the price of one. But there's a lot of things, you know. Gosh, this hour has just...
I know.
Two segments. I mean, there's so much we wanted to cover. Briefly, you know, we have more Wall Street veteran, Sam Stovall. He's warning that stock investors, the longest bull market on record, is going to end with an epic meltdown. That could have very well have started today. He says it's side effect, an unprecedented business cycle. Three conditions, very long, very high, and very expensive. I like that. Very long, very high, and very expensive. History would imply that we should be careful. because now we're likely to fall into a deep bear market when it does finally hit, and the average decline brings close to 40% plus. Everybody is predicting 50, 60, 70%. We've been predicting 70% for the past, since the last Great Recession. And of course, his thoughts came before the markets did this big downturn, Dave. But
yeah, you know, 2019, he suspects, is where the big troubles begin. He says Stovall, that is, you know, a lot of the euphoria, a lot of the optimism is already built in to share prices. That just leaves all that less available, just a smaller margin for failure. You know, how much more earnings can companies deliver? That was his question. You know, expectations were for a 22% gain for all of 2018. But he thinks it's going to slip to 10% in 2019. He thinks those optimistic numbers are already built into the market. You know, nobody knows for sure when the music will actually stop, Stovall said. He thinks it's just a matter of time. We at Discount Gold and Silver do too. Don't wait. Don't wait until the stock market takes a nosedive and the price of gold and silver soar. And soar through the roof, ladies and gentlemen. Add more to your portfolio now. Call us today, 1-800-375-4188. That's 375-4188. Melody, what a day of news. Talk about the roller coaster whipping around. You have whiplash?
Yes, and you're going to join me tomorrow. Pastor Butch has an appointment, can't make it. You're going to join me tomorrow for the program. We're going to talk about a lot of things, and we'll see what the markets are doing tomorrow. 800-375-4188. Be safe, ladies and gentlemen. Until then, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's too bad.